I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Deontay Johnson is a Baltimore Raven. See their number two wide receiver now? Probably. Rashad Bateman was there too. 400 plus yards on the year, but lost a ball in the sun. Could have cost them the game. Probably did cost them a game against the Cleveland Browns, and they say, nah, we need an upgrade. I think he does make the Baltimore Ravens better. I do not think, Doran, that he addresses their biggest need unless they flip him to corner. Their defense is one of the worst in the NFL. Their secondary might be the worst in the NFL. They lost their defensive coordinator. He went to coach the Chargers, and they lost a couple of good players this offseason, and the defense hasn't been all that good. In fact, it's been really bad.
Seahawks.
That's what I meant to say. Maybe I should give up on my dream as a radio host.
We're off to a good start.
I did the Harbaugh thing.
Yep.
John Harbaugh coaches the Ravens. Did you know that?
Yes.
His brother is the coach of the Chargers.
Yes.
Yes, but the former defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, he is now a Seahawk.
Yes.
Okay, very good. They don't have him.
No.
So this, I think, upgrades the Ravens. When you add a good player, and I do think Deontay's a good player, you get better. I just don't think this addresses even close to their biggest need. I do think it puts some added pressure on the Steelers, though, to go get a guy. Like, we talked about that all offseason with Deontay. They traded Deontay for a player who's been helpful to the Steelers, but a guy who was going to get cut, and they sent him to a place where they thought they weren't going to have to deal with him. And now he's going to the place where you really got to deal with him. You got to play him twice. I'm sure the reception at Acrisure Stadium is going to be a humdinger, Doran.
Boo!
And it's your biggest rival, the team that is your biggest threat in the AFC North, not even close. I think you need to act. All the big dogs in the AFC, all of them, got a wide receiver at some point. Now, Houston got Diggs, who's now out for the season. That's a big blow to them. Jets got Devontae Adams. The Bills got Amari Cooper. The Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins, and now the Ravens get Deontay Johnson. I think if you're Omar Khan, you're looking around and going, okay, all these teams that a lot of people thought were better than us anyway, except for the Jets, they've added. We need to add. That's the way I look at it, especially because it's Deontay Johnson. What do you think?
Well, it's what do you add at this point? You know, who's left?
Your guy.
Adam Thielen.
That's right.
I mean, if you think that, I would think that the Carolina Panthers are trying to clean house. I mean, Adam Thielen does not want to stay there.
Mm-mm.
He does not want to be there. He was there before Deontay Johnson. If you're willing to give up Deontay Johnson that you just basically traded for in the offseason, you should be willing to give up Adam Thielen. Now, people don't think that that's very sexy. Adam Thielen was hurt for a little bit, but he's a decent productive wide receiver. I think he would fit perfectly with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but other than him, like, are you just getting a guy to get a guy, or are you getting a true asset to your receiver core? And like, this does, it's got a sting for the Steelers a little bit to see this the way that this is transpiring.
When the obvious thing happens, that's what drives me nuts.
Yeah.
When you are playing, I'll just pick a team out of a hat here, the Raiders, and they got one good guy on offense in Brock Bowers, and he winds up going 10 for 180 and two touchdowns, it really pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take one guy out of the game. Easier said than done. He's a good player. All off season, Steelers need a wide receiver. Steelers need a wide receiver. They've acknowledged they need a wide receiver. It's why they tried to get Brandon Ayuk. It's why they were interested in Cooper Kupp. Yada, yada, yada. Like, they've acknowledged it. It's been on billboards everywhere. We need a wide receiver. And this is to take nothing away from Calvin Austin, to take nothing away, frankly, from Van Jefferson, both of whom have been better, significantly so, since Russell Wilson took over the quarterback position. But we saw up close and personal what it looks like with a really good number two wide receiver when the Giants came to town.
Yep.
Calvin Austin was one of the best players in that game, but Darius Slayton looks like a different cat.
Yes.
I wouldn't let him leave town. I'd still be trying to get him. Problem, Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network says that, yeah, you could trade for Darius Slayton, but that the Giants, quote unquote, want to be blown away with an offer. Now, I don't know what to believe in that, right? Davante Adams is going to cost a second-round pick. Need a second-round pick. Wound up going for conditional third. We always hear the asking prices high. Had a Giants beat writer on last week who said you could probably have him for a fifth or a sixth. So I don't really know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you really have to blow them away. That would be my number one target. Then I'm thinking Adam Thielen. Then I'm circling around on a guy like Tyler Boyd. Let's do that one again. Look. And I do think Mike Williams. I think you need one more guy. I don't want to see Scotty Miller alligator arm footballs anymore. I don't want to see Van Jefferson in the back of the end zone not stop on a route anymore. I need a guy. Darius Slayton, to me, changes the calculus on the Steelers. Their ceiling now is higher than I thought it would probably be at any point. And I think you can get by with the wide receivers that they have. I'm not trying to get by anymore. I'm trying to win a division. I'm trying to win a playoff game. I'm trying to capture the hearts and minds of Steelers Nation, Dwayne.
Yeah.
And with Russell Wilson, you could make the argument, oh, you have less of a need. I'll go the other way. I now feel like you got a quarterback that can get multiple people the ball, and I want as many dynamic playmakers as possible. Your quarterback still isn't better than Lamar Jackson. He's not better than Josh Allen. He's not better than Patrick Mahomes. But if you make your offense as good as possible with as many skill position players that can get yards after catch or run under moon balls, you give yourself a shot.
Yeah.
So I still think you need to go get one, and my guy now is Darius Slayton.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Myers, another name. Thank you, Texter, 412-928-9370. He's more of a true slot, but I would take just about anybody right now.
I just can't believe that, you know, they've missed on so many. And I also can't believe that somebody like the Ravens, who we say John Harbaugh is probably the most alike of Mike Tomlin, mentality-wise and just old school-wise, they think that Deontay Johnson can help them, but the Steelers are like, no, we're going to give up. Like, they're like, in order to spike the Steelers a little bit, we're going to trade for somebody like Deontay Johnson. We don't care what his pass is like. We think that this guy can help us, but the Steelers are like, no, he can't help us. So we're going to trade him away. No, he's a cancer. We're going to trade him away. But obviously the Ravens see something else.
You know what, though? Sometimes there's a hot girl and you're like, why is she single? And then you
find out she's crazy.
Yeah, you court her for a little bit. And then you realize, oh, everything that the dude that dated her before told me is absolutely true. But you think you can fix her because she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look past a lot of stuff because she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guy's like, nah, man, like, she's going to throw all your stuff out on the curb one day when you're gone, and she's going to sleep with your mailman. Like, mm-hmm. You don't need that. I think in the NFL, this happens all the time. Oh, we can fix him. Every coaching staff thinks they can fix a guy. I think it's probably going to work.
I
there,
do, too.
Because you don't need it to work for a long time. This isn't a long-term relationship. This is a fling. What do they got left? So they're 5-3. They got 9 games left. You just need him to walk the straight and narrow for 9 games on a team that should win games down the stretch. It should be easy for him to be happy. He's also singing for his supper because he wants to get paid this offseason. But make no mistake, the longer Deontay sticks around, the more your stuff does wind up out on the curb and the more he does sleep with your mailman.
Is that true? Because you might be living in a mansion and with Lamar Jackson and, you know, everything's paid for. You're going on vacations all the time. You're actually going on a yacht on the weekends. I don't know. He may be tamed a little bit with Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I think it works big time for 9 games. And if it continues to work, maybe they pay him. I think that would be the mistake. Because he's now played for 2 teams. The Steelers, where he absolutely wore out his welcome. And he's arguing with Mitch Trubisky. And he's fighting with Minkah Fitzpatrick.
No quarterbacks, though.
No quarterbacks. You're right. And that didn't get solved in Carolina. Because, nope. My God, what a dumpster fire that is. But he was a malcontent there, too. He's after the game publicly saying, I can't play every position. It's fairly understandable, and he's probably trying to force himself out, but it is a pattern now, 2 places where he wasn't exactly the world's best teammate. He ain't getting voted a captain. I feel like the Ravens are kind of collecting football cards here a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Like, Bateman's not a bad number 2 wide receiver. Zay Flowers is good. Finally, Mark Andrews is back in. It took him a while after he got hurt last year. They've got the other tight end, Isaiah Likely, who's been really good for them. they have a lot of eligibles. I wonder if they're trying to do the thing here where, okay, this defense is more than a corner or two away.
Right.
And so let's just try to outscore teams.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
I hope they do here. And I think Lamar's better than a lot of the listening audience does. You and I are in lockstep on that. I mean, the guy could win his third MVP this year. He's a hell of a football player. But I don't think their secret sauce is throwing it more. We saw that against Cleveland. Derrick Henry's averaging 8 yards a carry, and they only handed it to him 11 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything for them works off the run. The more they want to throw it, I'm okay with that. I don't know if this makes them want to throw it more, but I kind of hope it does.
Well,
we'll see.
I mean, you get more threats to throw. I mean, it's not like Lamar Jackson can't throw. Then you set up, you know, you start with the run and set up the pass, and now you have another threat to throw to. Like,
they look like a college offense, and I don't mean that as a pejorative. I mean it in terms of the statistics. They run for 200 plus, and they throw for 200 plus.
Yeah.
You don't see that in the NFL. Texter, Diontae Johnson is a cancer, also overrated. See, here's the thing. I don't think he solves all their issues because their issues aren't on offense.
Right.
I also will acknowledge he absolutely makes them a better football team.
There's no doubt.
He absolutely makes them better. No question about that. You know, people around here aren't scared of the Ravens, and I kind of was preaching that yesterday because the Steelers' success that they've had against Baltimore and all their defensive struggles, but let's not act like Lamar hadn't won 70% of his games in the NFL. And, like, they aren't still a big-time threat in the conference and the division. 412-928-9370. A couple of topics in the air now. Are you scared more of the Ravens now because of the addition of Diontae Johnson? Does this now mean there's more pressure on Omar Khan to go get a wide receiver? How do the Steelers' number two and number three receivers compare to those around the NFL? We'll get into all of it. We want your calls. 412-928-9370.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You think Minka Fitzpatrick's licking his chops at a chance to hit Diontae Johnson coming across the middle?
Oh, yeah. He might take that fine.
Oh, you take that fine. You take that fine. Texter, you guys are acting like Diontae Johnson is prime Calvin Johnson.
No, he's not. But you know what? Whenever you add him to a roster like the Ravens, he doesn't need to be prime Calvin Johnson. He's just another asset to their offense that could really, really enhance what they do.
Yes. Texter. Trying to fix a player can blow up in your face. Just look at AB. Three different teams tried to fix him. He won a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Diontae Johnson is out on loan. That's why I think he's going to help them. If you sign Diontae Johnson to a long-term deal and things don't go the way he wants them to go, he is going to bitch about it. But if you have him for 9 games and then probably a playoff run, in the last year of a contract, I think he's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he's not going to do goofy stuff like run backwards, but I don't think you're going to see the lack of effort from him.
Nope.
That you saw here.
No, he wants paid.
Yes. So to think he's not going to help Baltimore, I think is an absurd notion. He is. I don't happen to think he helps them where they most needed help, but he is going to make them a better football team. They've got Zay Flowers, and then they got Hardman, and then they got Diontae.
Bateman.
What did I say?
Hardman.
Oh, not Mecole Hardman. Rashad Bateman. Thank you. So you got three good wide receivers, two good tight ends, the best running back going, and probably your front runner for MVP at quarterback. I mean, they're averaging like 40 points a game.
Yep.
I don't know that they're going to slow down all that much. They're going to have to outscore that defense. I think that's what they're going for here. But let's not pretend like he does not help them. Let's not do that's such a Steelers fan looking through black and gold color glasses kind of deal.
Let's not act like that they can't make another move either.
They also can.
Before Tuesday.
And that's where I am on all of this, Doran. All the AFC contenders are trying to help themselves.
Yes.
And the Steelers aren't. Now, you can make the argument that, you know, sometimes a guy gets hurt, right? And then he comes back right before a trade deadline. And the general manager will come out and say, well, the guy we just got back from injury, that's like our trade deadline acquisition. You can make the argument, hey, the Steelers upgraded a quarterback. They got Russell Wilson. Yeah, they got to go add more. They got to go add more. I think the Steelers deserve to be talked about with some of the better teams in the AFC. But every one of them, that's not even an exaggeration, every one of them has tried to get better
yep.
at the position where the Steelers need to get better. Why? Because all these teams know you've got to score points to win. The Ravens are scoring 40, and they think we need to score more to win.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 10 against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship last year. So they're thinking, we got to score more. The Chiefs, their offense wasn't great last year. It's not great this year until they needed it to be in the postseason. And then, of course, it was. When they needed to score in the Super Bowl against an elite 49ers defense, they did. Everyone knows. Defense, I don't think, wins championships anymore.
No.
Defense can win you enough games to get into the dance. You need to make plays offensively to win championships now. And I would rather have a Darius Slayton out there, Doran, than a Scotty Miller when my season's on the line in the divisional round. Texter, let's be honest. The Steelers never tried to get a big-time receiver. If you want a big-time receiver, he's got to pay big-time money, and they wanted to get one of these guys for nothing. It doesn't work that way. Well, I just disagree with everything that Texter said. They were in on Brandon Ayuk. They were in on Devontae Adams, but both of those guys could decide where they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
They would have paid Brandon Ayuk. That's not conjecture. That's fact. They would have paid him.
But if they would have offered a little bit more, could they have gotten him?
It's a good question.
Right. Like, were they not willing to pay a little bit more to get either guy?
I think they got played the entire time. I think Ayuk ultimately wanted to be a 49er. So maybe there wasn't a price high enough to pay. I mean, $35-40 million, okay. But that's not even the going rate for him.
See, like, I get confused here, and you could probably help me with this. Did Deontay get traded after or before the draft?
Before.
He got traded before the draft. So, like, how do you not address that? Like, I mean, I understand the Faltanu pick. I understand that he's going to be a good player. But if I'm going to trade basically my number one, like, I got to address that immediately.
They put all their eggs in that Ayuk basket, and I think they thought they were going to get it done on draft day. I think that's why they restructured Alex Highsmith's deal. I really believe they believed it was going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't. And then they continued to pursue it because it's the shiny object out there. It's the dangling carrot. They wanted him for so long that, hey, we're going to get our guy. And then it never wound up happening. As for, you got to give up the farm for these receivers. No, you don't. Devontae Adams reportedly was going to go for a 2, went for a conditional 3. Amari Cooper didn't go for a 2nd. DeAndre Hopkins went for what? A conditional 4th. There was a flopping of a 5th and 6th round pick yesterday in the Deontay Johnson trade. None of these guys are going for a king's ransom. It's why I kind of chuckle, well, they're going to have to give up a lot for Darius Slayton. I think Darius Slayton might be a better player than Deontay Johnson. He certainly has a bit as big of a pain in the ass as Deontay Johnson. But, you know, is he better than DeAndre Hopkins at this point? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So go give up a 4th or 5th round pick for a Darius Slayton. Come on now. Hey, I think that's a misframing of the conversation. Well, you can't give up the farm. You can't sell your future, mortgage your future for a wide receiver. They won't have to. None
Who cares
of these teams
about
have.
The future anyways right now?
Yeah.
You're 6-2. You're feeling really good about your quarterback situation. You're feeling pretty good about your defense. You're leading the division. Why not just go for it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about the future right now in a 2nd or even a 3rd or 4th round pick. Honestly, I'm in the middle of this right now. I'm living where my feet are at. Like, I know if I enhance this receiving core, this could help us really clear the vision of the picture that we want to draw.
Yes.
Like, just do, like you and you've already acknowledged and told us that this is a need. And everybody around you is shoring up this need. You had out of all these teams that got Amari Cooper, the Bills, maybe the Bills, Amari Cooper, the Devontae Adams, now Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins. You probably were number one that needed it the most.
Yes.
For months.
You know what's happening here? Because people think the Steelers aren't going to get a wide receiver, they're now saying that they don't need one and it's not worth giving up a pick.
Exactly.
That's what's happening. Oh, they're not going to get one. So you're doing the mental gymnastics. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. And look, I am more encouraged by the Steelers' receivers today than I had been 3 weeks ago because you're seeing what Russell Wilson has done with these guys. And they look like true, legitimate NFL players in Calvin Austin III and in Van Jefferson. But when the Penguins traded for Marian Hossa, I'm sure all those teams in the NHL that are fighting for them, fighting for playoff positioning in the Eastern Conference, think, "Oh damn!
Oh my God!
We got to keep up with the Joneses here."
Right?
When a contender adds and you fancy yourself a contender, you should try to keep up or surpass. The way they've played with Russell Wilson these last 2 weeks, I don't view the Steelers anymore as this, oh, they should just get into the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game. I'm hoping they're striving. They are striving for something more, so act like it. It's an arms race. Go get something. Go get munitions. Find a way. And I don't think it's going to cost all that much.
You're acting like it on the field, and it's crazy to say, but Mike Tomlin's acting like it on the field, making the moves that he's made, obviously, at the quarterback position. They're telling us on the field-wise that, hey, we're in this thing. We want to go for it right now. But then it takes two to tango. Like, what are you doing upstairs? We need more players. Like, we need another receiver. We need another this. We need another that. And it's just been quiet. Like, they're telling us on the field-wise that we're going for it. But upstairs, it seems like it's like, okay, like, we want to get the right deal for us. We're not going to overpay. We're going to make sure it's right. Like, sometimes it doesn't work that way.
No, if I'm going to a formal in college and I'm trying to get a little something, I ain't going bargain basement shopping.
Mm-mm.
I'm getting Gucci. I'm getting the nicest watch I can. I'm getting snake skin boots. Like, I'm looking hot. Like, you go bargain basement shopping, then the girl doesn't want to go home with you. It's your fault.
Yep.
Like, you're settling. And they're kind of settling here at receiver, unless, to me, they get a Darius Slayton. Because I think he's a legitimate number two receiver. He's an above average to good number two wide receiver. So if that means you got to give up a fourth round pick, pay what you got to pay. The word is urgency. That's why you paid Patrick Queen. It's why you got rid of Kenny Pickett. It's why you brought in two quarterbacks, not one. It's why you get Deshaun Elliott. Like, they spent money in a way they don't usually spend money this offseason. They operated in a way they don't usually operate. They fired their OC last year. They made a switch at quarterback, like you just said, at 4-2, because they didn't want to be the Kenny Pickett team on steroids. And that's kind of what they look like. Run the ball, play defense, let Justin Fields go make a play or two. No, they're striving for something more. Well, the front office needs to get on this then, because it doesn't just end in the offseason. You have up until the trade deadline to finalize the roster that you're going to battle with. So go get a guy. And yeah, there's added pressure, not just because Deontay Johnson goes to the Ravens, but because every one of these teams got better. 412-928-9370. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll get back into the Steelers coming up at 7 o'clock, but an emotional day at the barn yesterday. Marc-Andre Fleury, a tear-felt goodbye to Penguins fans. We'll talk about it when we come back. All right, one last thing on the Deontay Johnson and whether or not the Steelers need a wide receiver and if there's more pressure on Omar Khan. A lot of folks this morning on the text line, and I listened to the station yesterday, a lot of callers, no, you can't give up a fourth round pick for a guy. Don't give up a fifth round pick for a guy. These guys aren't going to help. Da-da-da-da-da. These are the same people that want to fire Tomlin because they haven't won a playoff game in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to make money, sometimes you got to spend money. You want to make money in investment, you're going to have to fork over some cash.
Mm-hmm.
You want to win a playoff game in an AFC where teams around you are continually getting better, you need to put in some chips in the middle of the table.
Yep.
Man, I've been mixing a lot of analogies this morning. I don't know if they've been good either. Mixing and matching. You get it.
Yes.
Last night, Marc-Andre Fleury's Minnesota Wild beat the Penguins, and he was not good early, but then he was good the rest of the way, and the Penguins stink right now. They stink. They've given up four or more goals in seven consecutive games. They have lost six games in a row. They had a 2-0 lead and blew it in 55 seconds last night. That has been a theme for this team. When they face the slightest bit of adversity, they completely crumble, which is ridiculous for a coach who's been around for as long as Mike Sullivan and for a leadership core that has experienced the highest of highs and at times the lowest of lows. But we'll talk about that later. Marc-Andre Fleury, post-game, Sportsnet Pittsburgh, getting everybody all emotional up in there.
Tough to put into words, you know. This is my second home for a long time. We had so many great memories, you know, so many great people in the locker room throughout the years, and the fans, obviously, right? And again tonight, you know, it's I feel very fortunate. Thank you, guys. You know, those were some of the best years of my life. I really appreciate it. And so hard to say bye, but thank you so much. It's always so special, you know. So many good memories, right, playing here in Pittsburgh. And I don't know, I was in the first there. I was in so stressed, you know. I wanted to do well. And I don't know, all the love, you know, from all the fans was amazing, and all the cards. And again, thank you very much for all these years, guys. Thank you.
Seems like all we got as Penguins fans anymore is nostalgia.
Yep.
Milestones, Crosby, Malkin earlier on in the season, and now the honoring of Marc-Andre Fleury. Hell, last year they did the Jágr thing.
Yes.
And they're not selling out all these games. I think they did last night, and that's the way it's going to be unless they start playing better hockey. But I do think it's important to talk about what Fleury meant to this organization. You know, pick him first overall. He was really the bright spot of the team as an 18-year-old, and he plays Los Angeles Kings in his debut, and they barrage him with shots, and he gives up four, but yet he was still the number one star of the game because he had these bright yellow pads, and he's flashing left and right, and he was an athlete playing goal. And I think he represented hope for a franchise that went through it for a couple of years there, and it's crazy to me, Doran, that was 2003.
Yeah.
That was 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was 18.
Mm-hmm.
He's 39. Unbelievable.
It's crazy how fast these things go. I saw a clip last night of him skating out there for that first opportunity whenever he first got drafted, his first game. And I was like, wow, like that seems like it was yesterday. And it is all about the memories. But, you know, that was the start of something very special.
Yes.
In 2003, and then I think, what, Malkin came? Who came next? Letang?
So Crosby came
in 2005.
Mm-hmm. And they had there was the lockout, and then Malkin came the following season, and they made the playoffs every year.
Right.
For a while with Malkin and Crosby, and then, of course, the cup run in 08, then they win the cup in 09. Fleury was the start.
Mm-hmm.
Fleury was a start. Jordan Staal lump in there at the beginning.
Yep,
that was the talent core at the time. But he was the first one.
Yeah,
and it was topsy turvy. I mean, they sent him down to Wilkes-Barre, but it wasn't necessarily his fault. Those teams were horrific defensively, and you had Michel Therrien saying we're the softest team in all the league. We're soft, but he gave you hope. And then he makes the save of saves against Detroit when that team was clearly better than the Penguins in 08.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were better than the Penguins in 09, too, and the Penguins showed guts, and you get the text from Lemieux, and it fires the team up. He makes that save, and after that, to me, it's all gravy, and he had some bad times. I mean, the 2012 playoffs, 2013, he gets benched, doesn't even play against Boston. It's Tomas Volkoon, and it wasn't looking great there.
Mm-hmm.
16, hell, he gets benched for Matt Murray. But then in 17, they don't win without him. He was great against Columbus. He was outstanding against Washington, including in Game 7 in the second round of the playoffs. All told, part of three championships. His number 29 jersey will be inducted into the rafters one day at PPG Paints Arena, and for good reason. But he would, I mean, you want to talk, like Crosby and Malkin, they come in and were teenagers, right? I mean, Fleury, I'm 13 years old.
Yeah.
Like, that was middle school.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yep. I think the real story is what you just nailed a little bit ago, is that we're living through nostalgia now, and this is where we're at. These guys are getting old, and the Penguins aren't very good. Like, that's the real story that I don't think that we even wanted to go down that path and just acknowledge that this is the things that we have to hang on to. And it would have been nice to hang on to it while the Penguins were, you know, winning right now. But I think that we are seeing the end, literally, of everything, of the start. And that's sad in a way. You know, I'm sure if you were there last night, your heart was pulling you in so many different directions. Like, you wanted to feel good, but you also have to acknowledge that this is the end.
Yeah.
Because Fleury was the start of the end. And it is ending right in front of our faces, and he ended it last night. And it's a feel-good moment, but at the same time, you are literally watching the end of that.
You're right about the Fleury deal being the beginning of the end, and I think every general manager in hockey would have done the same thing at that time, protect Matt Murray in the expansion draft, and Marc-Andre was going to leave, and he wanted to be a number one guy, and Murray had just won two championships for you and had been an elite goaltender in the process. So I think everyone does it, but hindsight being 2020, the wrong move. But I'm not killing Jim Rutherford for it. Again, mm-hmm. Every GM in the league would have done it. The younger goalie who just won you two championships, you're riding with that guy.
Right.
But then Murray went through some personal things in his life, didn't wind up being the guy he had been in those two playoff runs. He falls on his face. It leads you directly to Tristan Jarry. So you're in that goaltender position you are right now because Marc-Andre Fleury left.
Yep.
And that was the domino that fell.
Yep.
I mean, you get average goaltending in a couple of those playoff series. We're not talking about a team that hadn't won since 2018.
And I think that if you're Fleury, like, you, that was the perfect time to leave. Because it could have gone one way, or it could have gone two ways. It could have been pretty decent, or it could have been really bad. And I don't know if this reception would have been as good as it was. It probably would have been, but you could have left on a real, real, real. You left it high. You left Pittsburgh high.
Really well said, too, man.
It could have been very, very sour note that you left Pittsburgh of being in playing very bad for a team that, you know, that was clearly aging at that time.
Yes. It's a rare story.
Very rare.
Because I'll tell you what. I mean, 2012 in particular against the Flyers, he couldn't stop a beach ball.
Mm-mm.
They were bad in front of him. He couldn't stop a beach ball. His playoff failures after the cup run in 09 were significant. I mean, he got benched, like I said, for Vokoun in 2013, and it wasn't looking good. And then he helps in 16 and 17. Like, they don't get to the playoffs without him in 16. They don't win the Stanley Cup in 17 without him. And I think now, in Penguins history, you almost forget about the bad times.
Right.
But to me, that's as much of the story as anything, is someone who persevered.
Yes.
And a fan base that now wraps their arms around this guy, one of the all-time favorite athletes in this town, one of the all-time absolutely favorite Penguins, for a guy that was public enemy number one for a little while there. It's amazing.
Very good.
Yes.
Penguins are not. We'll get to that a little bit when we come back, and then back into the Steelers. Super Bowl contenders? Someone's saying it. At the top of the hour, Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We have screwed the clock, no biggie. Coming up in the next segment, a national analyst uses the words Steelers and Super Bowl contenders in the same sentence, Dorn.
Oh.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One last thing on the Penguins. They're in last place in the East.
Yep.
I mean, they are bad, bad. And I don't think their roster's this bad. Like, I think their roster's good enough, not that it's satisfying, to have them where they were the last 2 years. But four or more goals given up in seven straight games, it's almost unfathomable. Blah, 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 blah. It's just so bad, and they're not going to fire the coach. I'd be shocked if they did, but I think that's what they probably need to do if they have any sights on making this be a competitive season. Maybe they don't, and they're just going to sell off at the deadline and continue this rebuild process, and you're going to come watch them play because Crosby and Malkin and Letang are there, and I guess a little bit maybe Erik Karlsson. I think the only option is to get rid of the coach because they just have zero defensive structure, and a lot of the times out there, Dorn, they don't even seem like they care.
They have no desire.
Yes.
It's a shame. It is a shame. I don't know. Like, it's so early in the season that I could see them actually making a move. But it would be very shocking, like you're saying. Like, you don't see them making a move. I think that they have no other direction to go.
Yeah.
They have to.
You are 3-7-1. And we talked coming into the year, you can't have the season get away from you in October. And that's what's happened.
Yep.
The next time they play is in November. 3-7-1. They're averaging more than 3 goals a game. They actually have depth scoring. They have 13 guys that have a goal or more. Now, Crosby, I thought, played well last night. Malkin's been mostly good this season. Ricard Raquel is having a renaissance. And yet, they're 3-7-1. So what needs to change? If they're serious, you got to fire the coach. We'll see. I don't know that Fenway Sports Group's paying all that much attention. And if they are, I think they're telling us what they think. They love Mike Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Woof. All right, to the Steelers. Are they really a Super Bowl contender? One analyst thinks so. Should we change the way we're viewing them? I'll explain them. We'll ask that question again. First, Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado, 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.